CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. We go to Edinburgh, Scotland, to Simon Constable of Barron's and Forbes and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, watching the commodities market especially, because here at wintertime, energy is a premium. We begin, however, with the virus. In these last hours and days, London, Boris Johnson's government, has made declaration that there will be no lockdown in the immediate future. This is complicated by the fact that there are increasing cases every day of what we're told is the Omicron variant. And yet, because hospitalization has not overwhelmed the NHS in the London area, the concentration of population, Boris Johnson is saying we're not going to reverse ourselves. We're going to wear masks. We're going to go forward. We're going to depend upon the honor system if you have, in some fashion, tested positive. They have enough kits in the London area for testing of families and people immediately, something here in the U.S. we do not have enough of. However, Scotland is another matter, as I remind all of us. Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland, was especially severe about lockdowns about the Alpha and Delta variants. So, Simon, a very good day to you in Edinburgh. Your experience now in these last days, Nicola Sturgeon, has she shut you down, or are you masked? Are you social distancing? Are people required to stay at home? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. We're not required to stay at home. We are required to be masked when going into a restaurant or a bar, but not when we're sitting down. So again, I'm sure a lot of people have wondered about this, is if you're breathing in and out while you're sitting down, what's the difference between that and breathing in and out when you're standing up? Nevertheless, that is what most people are doing. As you mentioned, there seems to be a bit of an honor system with people saying, okay, I've been vaccinated, or I haven't, or I've taken the lateral flow test. And we have copious quantities of those. It's very easy to get them here in Edinburgh. You can go in and just demand them, and they give them for free in 10 packs. And I usually ask for 2 10 packs and then come home and occasionally test myself. It's never given me a positive thing. Now, one thing that is different about Scotland is that if you test positive or get symptoms, the self-isolation is 10 days, which is much more than in England, where it's 7 days. So they've reduced that. And to make things a little more strange, and I think you're going to love this, it says if you continue to have symptoms but have isolated for 10 days in Scotland, you are legally allowed to leave isolation, which is sort of weird. If you've got the symptoms and you've been isolated for 10 days, surely there's something still wrong with you. Why wouldn't you be asked to still isolate? I really can't figure it out. I don't think many people can, and it's a classic example of government at work. However, all is good now. I haven't tested positive for this thing yet. Neither has anyone else I know. Thank goodness, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I don't.
We move from the virus, the unknowns of the virus, to the unknowns of energy policy in Europe and in the UK, no longer part of the EU, but part of the chain of energy. It flows from, well, where does it flow from? That is the large question now. Let's deal with price first, because that is a way of rationing what you do have. Simon, you last reported that your prices were 7, 8, or 9 times what they had been a year past. I note that the news here in the U.S. during the holidays was that several flotillas of liquefied natural gas container ships were heading towards Rotterdam. Do you see any change in the price of natural gas from before the holidays? Has it gone up? What is the opinion in Scotland about heating your homes this winter?
Well, I think one of the opinions is we need a lot of heat. We've just got a cold snap here. So it's a 2 and 3 sweat a day for a lot of people. And then maybe even more than that when you go outside. Yes, the price of natural gas, in the UK, has fallen quite considerably. It's still up more than fourfold since this time last year, but it's down considerably from a few weeks ago. It's maybe about down about 40%, and probably helped by two things. One is we had some mild weather a few weeks ago, which means there's less demand for heating, and this flotilla of liquid natural gas ships coming in. Now, I should point out, the rest of what we need typically comes from Russia via Ukraine, which we've talked about before, but that is a big issue given that Russia has cut down that pipeline with some frequency, two times before this year. I'm sorry, before last year anyway.
What we're dealing with then is geopolitics in the homes, because your heating fuel is derived from natural gas. And Russia has many explanations. They all come down to this is leverage. And the leverage may or may not be relieved in these next days. Many serious voices here in the U.S. believe that it will be a talking contest through the winter, because Russia maintains its upper hand as it controls that pipeline. Is there political turmoil in Scotland because of this? Or have the Scots decided to shoulder the burden and pay the extra costs? What is the talk about helping people who do not have those extra costs?
So what we're seeing now is a bit of lobbying by some companies to get the government to subsidize the increased cost of natural gas. And one can understand that, because if the government doesn't do it, these companies may be stuck with the bill themselves if people simply won't pay. I mean, one of the things that would be dramatically bad or disastrously bad for a gas provider would be to cut somebody's gas off and then have them freeze to death in the winter. That would be very bad publicity, and it will be all over the British newspapers, regardless of what excuses the CEOs and the senior executives said. So there is pressure on the government to try and subsidize it. But the actual solution, as you and I know, is to drill for natural gas where we have it. And we have deposits of natural gas in the UK. Europe has vast deposits of natural gas, and they could drill for it, and that would solve the problem on a temporary basis. However, it does seem to go against the greening of the environment, which was talked about last October, November in Glasgow.
Simon, Brussels to the rescue. Within these last days, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, and I presume in Brussels, so it would be in French, the leadership of the European Union has decided to publish a taxonomy over these next years. This is the what is approved, what is not approved. And to everyone's surprise here in the U.S., suddenly renewable energy includes not only natural gas, but also nuclear energy. This is a complete reversal to the presumption of the Greens of Europe. And in fact, Annalena Baerbock, the foreign minister of the new government in Germany, is unhappy about this decision by the European Union. I'm guessing that it's going to come your way, because you do have a great deal of natural gas off of the Scottish shore. The North Sea is filled with it. You also need a nuclear energy plant in Scotland. I don't know whether that's politically acceptable, but if the EU, where you used to belong and where Scotland would like to belong again, approves of nuclear energy, doesn't your leadership follow the parade at Brussels? Isn't that the general assumption of Nicola Sturgeon? She likes what Brussels likes.
I predict, based on what you've just told me, I predict what we would call here significant reverse ferreting is going to happen fairly shortly in Scotland, and possibly in England too. There'll be a reversal of fortune, as if all of the stuff that's been talked about for the last few years is irrelevant or never happened. Now, I should point out that just down the coast from Edinburgh, there is a small nuclear plant that helps provide electricity, but we still need the natural gas as well. It is interesting the way that these things go. I didn't think I'd ever hear anyone say, or certainly not part of the Green Party, would say, oh yes, nuclear energy is clean and safe and let's do it. I've heard other people say that, but it's generally been tossed out. This is going to be very interesting, and for us, very entertaining, if we can stay warm enough to survive this forthcoming
winter. Right, get to spring, and then we'll talk about it. Yes. Now, finally, inflation. It is a global story now, no longer debated. The price of milk, Simon, what have you noticed in Edinburgh? Because everybody buys milk.
Everybody buys milk because you need to have that cup of tea on the hour every hour to keep warm, certainly indoors and definitely outdoors. So I went in the new year. I went out to get a liter of milk in one of the plastic containers. And for the entire time I've lived here, it's been about a pound for a liter. And I put my pound forward and the checkout person said, oh, no, that's £1.20. So that may be a little bit tricky for people thinking in dollars, but basically that's a 20% increase, and that's kind of considerable. Now, can I afford the extra 20p, which is about 25-30 cents? Yes, absolutely. But it is indicative of what's going on here. Food prices, basic staples, are going up dramatically in price, and it's going to start crimping people's disposable income quite soon.
Simon Constable, Barron's, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, other distinguished publications at the first of the year reporting on commodities, energy, and milk in Scotland. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.